Welcome to What About the Children, our podcast dedicated to the issues of marijuana use and parenting. I'm Russ Belville. Joining me today to discuss the issue is the founder of Moms for Marijuana, Sarah Frank, a longtime activist here in the Pacific Northwest and, of course, a medical cannabis patient as well. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Always a pleasure, Russ. Thank you.
So the organization Moms for Marijuana, give folks the basics about why you founded this organization and what issues you're fighting for.
Well, it began as an outlet through social media, originally on MySpace, where I just shared information I was learning about marijuana. I had found it for myself medically, and I felt it was important to share it with other people, especially in Idaho, where I'm from, and just kind of get it out there to the world what was going on about marijuana. And that kind of developed into a network of parents around the world who are just, focused on doing the same thing, just getting the information out there, promoting education, raising awareness, creating discussion about everything to do with cannabis, not just marijuana.
Of course, the issue of marijuana use in many states is now medically accepted, and in 8 states is legal for all adults 21 and older. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the authorities are so excited about the use of marijuana by parents. And can you give our listeners some of the basics about what's been going on for parents who've been caught by law enforcement using their cannabis, even in states where it's accepted?
There's so much. It's devastating to see what happens to parents on many different levels. You have the, getting caught with it, having to deal with the court system, the potential of having to face jail time, and then what do you do with your family, your job, things like that that affect your family if you're having to go spend time in jail or pay restitution or anything just for getting caught with your medicine. There's also the Child Protective Services aspects of it where, and sometimes they go hand in hand, a parent will be busted criminally and then, persecuted criminally. And then Child Protective Services will come and get involved in their lives and get them into services, which then is more time away from the family, more time away, money that is spent away from the family, and all these different things affect the children. And then there are the ones who are taken from their home. And that's where it just gets heartbreaking, is to hear these stories and learn about these families that are just ripped apart because a parent is using medical marijuana, or because a parent is using recreational marijuana, or because a child is being given, it as a drug, because all the parents around the country and around the world are waking up to the medical aspects and they're choosing to medicate their children despite the law. And so having a child taken away and then having to go and fight the stigma in the court, it's just devastating.
What are the justifications being given by Child Protective Service authorities when it comes to taking kids from marijuana-using parents? I mean, is it just simply in some places that it's illegal, or are they actually claiming there's some imminent danger to the child?
Oh, they charge them with injury to a child in a lot of cases when it has to do with smoking around a child or giving the child the marijuana, as the case we had here in Gooding, Idaho recently. The mother had given the child marijuana, so they charged her with injury to a child. And the marijuana was given to the child to stop hallucinations and the seizures because her family had experiences with it, helping with things like that in Colorado. So parents hear these stories, they learn, the medical aspects, they see it happen through memes and things on Facebook and social media, and they believe it will help their child, and they choose in their desperate moment to give their child the medicine like she did. But then they come in and they charge them with injury to a child or child endangerment. So they're doing this solely on the belief that cannabis is dangerous. And that's the stigma that a lot of parents have to fight in court, and unless you get a judge who has done their research, they have the same kind of programmed stigma in their head about marijuana and that it's dangerous, more dangerous than heroin. So they treat it as such, and they look at these parents like they're heroin addicts.
What a shame. And how much of this, we want to give people the benefit of the doubt of having the best interest of the child at heart. But when you look deeper into the Child Protective Service and foster care system, do you find other perverse incentives, financial incentives, other things that might be affecting the decision to go after these parents?
Well, there was a senator in Georgia, Nancy Schaefer, and I think she puts it best that she believes that the child protective system as a whole across the country has become corrupted and is broken almost beyond repair. And there is an entire movement, just much like the cannabis movement out there, which is the exposed child protective services and the anti-CPS movement and fight CPS movement. And as you start delving into that, you start to see that marijuana is just one of many, many, many things that they use to get into the system. So it's, you know, you're fighting a stigma through the courts, you're fighting the stigma through family courts, and then you're involved in a system that in itself is broken. So these parents get dragged along, and none of this is in the best interest of the child. If it was in the best interest of the child, they would be working to keep the families together. But as you know, there's a lot of perverse reasons why Child Protective Services gets involved with families. And, you know, it's not every social worker, it's not every area, but the system itself is damaged, and I believe totally beyond repair. Not almost beyond repair, but it's we need to completely not revamp and just abolish Child Protective Services and create a community organization and a community protection organization where families help each other rather than punish them for, you know, a mistake they made as a parent.
What are some of the,
if we,
oh, I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, what are some of the outcomes in cases you've dealt with as far as how CPS may have done more damage to the child than marijuana ever could have?
And that's when it starts breaking my heart, Russ. I start thinking of cases like Alex Hill. She was a little 2-year-old in Texas, and Texas is one of the worst places for Child Protective Services corruption. And the father had admitted to smoking a joint in his living room while he was watching a movie. His wife, I believe, suffered from seizures. And I believe that they were, you know, medical users. I would have to verify that, so I don't want to say exactly that. But so Alex was asleep in the other room while her parents smoked a joint. And they admitted to this to a Child Protective Services social worker who showed up at the door because a relative, in spite, you know, in a conflict, had called them and said, hey, they use marijuana, go talk to them. And so that's what they do. They get these referrals, and they have 30 days, 30 to 90 days, depending on the state, to go and check out these referrals. And they determine whether or not they find they are founded, they're unfounded, or depending on where you're at, you know, the terminology is different, but they determine whether or not they have a basis for creating a case plan with that family to help them under the guise of protecting their children. And in reality, what it is they want them to do assessments. And in any assessment that they do, they're going to end up being put into a service because the state receives federal funding for these services. So in order to get more funding next year, the state has to have more people in their services this year. So they get them put up in these services, and marijuana use is definitely a key factor. It's like an automatic, you get drug rehabilitation classes. You get, you know, you have to have, like, in my personal case, very personal case with Billy, it was they wanted him to do drug rehab. So I'm not sure the specific with Alex's parents, but they wanted them to do all these services. And a lot of those will include counseling and domestic violence assessments. And they'll put them in these services and keep this case plan going for weeks, months, years at a time, depending on the case. And the way the social workers get the parents to do these things is to threaten them with court involvement. They'll say, okay, well, if you don't do these things and sign this case plan, we're going to take you to court and make you sign it. So unless you do it willingly, we're going to force you to do it. So there's no choice here. You're going to end up doing these classes. And once you get in these classes, then, you know, in a lot of cases, like in Alex's case, they took the child from the home. So you only get weekly visits with your children, and you only get, you know, you have to go do these classes and then go to court. And it's almost like being on probation is what it reminds me of. So Alex's parents were in these classes, and they were almost completely done. And they had been to court, and the court told them that in a couple of weeks, you'll be done and your daughter can come home. And within that time period, the foster mother abused her to the point where she passed away. And it's, you know, over marijuana. It's people are dying in foster care. And if your children are six times more likely to be abused or die in foster care than they are in the general public. And all over marijuana, it, in a lot of cases, it's almost an automatic guarantee that the court will say, yes, you have to do these things because you tested positive for marijuana, even in legal states. And what we do, I'm with, you know, Moms for Marijuana International, but I'm also with the Fight for Lily Foundation. And as you know, we go around and we teach parents how to do this. We teach parents how to fight back. We teach parents how to say, hey, we need evidence here. We need evidence like any other court, and we need to fight back at, like any other court, with cross-examining these witnesses to find out what exactly is the reason that these children are removed from their home. And if it's marijuana, you need to provide evidence of how it's harmful, because as we all know, it's not.
Yeah, we could use a lot more truth in our procedures here when it comes to child protective services. And it's not to say that we don't want children to be protected from abuse and neglect and dangerous situations. It's just that marijuana use is none of those things. Studies show that kids do better even with troubled homes than they do being put in foster care. So there's no real good reason be doing this. We need to wrap up here, Sarah. So let's tell the listeners a little more about how they can get information about your group and how to move forward on this issue of child protective services.
The best place is definitely social media. You know, Moms for Marijuana International will share a lot through Facebook. And then, you know, the Fight for Lily, fightforlily.org. It's Lily with two L's, L-I-L-L-Y. But any parent who wants to educate themselves about what's going on with CPS and how to fight back and how to stand up for their family and protect their family, especially as a marijuana user, you just have to use Google. You just have to become that law student overnight and learn what your rights are. Because in this country, our rights as parents are protected more so than the rights of child protective services to come in and protect your child under the guise, you know, over marijuana and trying to protect them from a drug that is not dangerous.
Sarah Franks, thanks so much for all you're doing for the parents out there trying to help keep their kids safe. We appreciate it. I encourage everyone to check out Moms for Marijuana on the internet, on Facebook, and get connected and get involved. Thanks, Sarah, and good luck with all your future endeavors.
Thank you, Russ.